Christ is risen. If you'd like to be seated. It's a real joy this morning to welcome everybody to this church on our Easter Day celebration, and it's wonderful to have the congregation back in the building. It's been quite lonely over the last few months doing the service, but we're so grateful to everybody who has made it possible, and it's wonderful just to see people with us this morning. Wanted also to say a special word of thanks to those who have decorated our church so beautifully within the limitations of what we're allowed to do at the moment. And thank you too to all the cleaning team and those who have been working behind the scenes all through lockdown, and particularly our technology team for broadcasting all our services right throughout this past number of months and through the season of Lent. Just wanted to mention one or two things that are coming up in the next little while as we welcome everybody. And we're also delighted to welcome those who are joining us on the live stream this morning and those who are dialing in and hearing the service over the telephone. Just to say that our Easter vestry, which was postponed, has now been rescheduled for Tuesday, the 20th of April. At 7:30, it'll take place here in church, and that's the annual business meeting of the church, and all are welcome on Tuesday, the 20th of April at 7:30. And next Sunday, our services are morning prayer at 11 o'clock and evening prayer at 7. Also on Wednesday week, that's the 14th of April, we're hoping to begin our next online Alpha course, which takes place from 8 to 9 over 11 consecutive weeks. It's an opportunity to explore the meaning of life, the purpose of life. And we're going to just see a little video. If you might be interested in taking part in that course, we're going to see that video now.
Every day we ask so many questions. What should I wear? What's the weather going to be like? How am I going to fit everything in? But then there are those bigger questions, like why am I here? Where am I heading? Is there more to life than this?
I had arrived at an answer to the most important issue that we humans ever deal with. Is there a God? And I had arrived there without ever really looking at the evidence. And I was supposed to be a scientist.
At 28, I had gotten many of the things that I thought I wanted. You know, my girlfriend was on the cover of magazines, I had a Beamer, and I was so unhappy. It was a realization maybe that I would never find happiness where I was looking for it.
I think for so many years, you know, I always just strived to be strong in myself. All I needed was me and my buddies and, you know, we'd be like invincible. But the truth is, none of us are.
And I found purpose, I found meaning, I found hope. God took something so broken and made it a beautiful art piece.
Alpha is a place where you can be yourself. You can say what you think and challenge everything. No question is too complex or too simple. And what your point of view is as important as anyone else's.
We are going on a journey together, an adventure to explore the questions of life, faith, and meaning.
in our service today, just to remind people, with the continued restrictions, we're not permitted to sing, but we are delighted that we have recordings of St. Finian's Choir singing some of those wonderful Easter hymns. And it's wonderful to have Mark with us, and we hope that it will have a very authentic sense of St. Finian's worshipping together on this Easter day. So as we come in to celebrate this wonderful day, our opening hymn today, "The Whole Bright World Rejoices Now." Our service today, the service of Holy Communion. And so we pray together as we enter God's presence. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we respond to God's forgiveness as we stand together to say the words, "Glory to God in the highest." Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. And peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ. In the glory, Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Our collect for Easter Day. Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that as by your grace going before us, you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help, we may bring them to good effect through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And if you'd like to be seated for our psalm, which the choir will sing for us. Our first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles in the 10th chapter, beginning at the 34th verse. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Here ends our first reading. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Mark in the 16th chapter, beginning at the first verse. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the Gospel of the Lord. And we affirm our faith in the risen Lord in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate.
he suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Now, if you'd like to be seated, we're going to reflect on the next hymn, The Day of Resurrection. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On a day of great joy in the Christian calendar, the day of Easter Day, our joy today is heightened by being able to worship together. And while we can't sing just yet, or hug or shake hands as we might wish to, it's very special to be able to celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection together after such a difficult year. And we're delighted to be joined by those who are watching us at home and hopefully feeling part of our celebration with us. And when I was thinking about what I might say today, I thought I might like to take you back in your imagination, maybe with me, to a spring day back in 1995. And it was a day in which I found myself in a long queue, waiting to gain access with other pilgrims to the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem, the very place that we read about in our gospel reading for today's service. And as I shuffled along in that very long queue, I guess my head was full of expectation as I neared the entrance to the tomb. And I was wondering to myself just what it would feel like to be inside this little cave-like structure where Jesus had been buried following his crucifixion. And I suspected that it would somehow feel very special or very holy to find myself actually in this very significant place. And in a similar way, I wonder what the women felt as they made their way there to the tomb on that first Easter morning. They came armed with spices to anoint Jesus' body, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome. And it wasn't a very pleasant task that they had come to do, but it was one which needed to be done, as the Sabbath meant that they were unable to do it on the day that Jesus died on the cross. And as I eventually got in the entrance to the tomb, the excitement within me was growing as I eventually stooped down to enter, and then I knelt down. There was a little space for a few people to pray inside the tomb just for a little moment before being moved out. And when I knelt down to pray on that very special holy site, I just felt nothing. And having built myself up for this really, really special moment, I felt very disappointed. And I spent a couple of minutes there, and then on my way out, you were ushered out through another exit. I just had to bend my head up because I nearly banged it off a sign which hung over the exit. And the sign said, "He's not here. He has risen, just as he said." And it was then that the penny dropped. He's not here. He has risen. No wonder I didn't feel anything in particular as I knelt in that tomb. But as I made my way out from that dark little tomb, my heart was filled with a very, very special sort of joy. So often, God seems to do the unexpected thing. Even though Jesus had told his disciples in advance what would happen, it seems incredible to us maybe that they couldn't see it. And if you were with us during our wonderful services during Holy Week, when the Reverend Adrian Green was sharing and leading our devotions, you'll remember that he spoke about the crowd at Jesus' crucifixion, challenging Jesus to prove himself by climbing down from the cross. But no one seems to have thought about what actually would happen, that he would die and then come back. And in all of the Gospels, the witnesses of the empty tomb on the first Easter morning, they were told not to be afraid. And that's actually really quite hard, because what happened on that first Easter morning was supernatural, it was unexpected, and indeed it was pretty terrifying if you think about it even for a moment. You go along expecting to find a sealed tomb, and instead you find the stone has been rolled away and there are angels inside. You go along to that tomb expecting to be reminded of the past and to see a dead body, but instead you discover a very new future.
You go there to anoint a corpse, and instead you discover that the Lord has risen, and none of those are natural things. Death is natural, loss is natural, grief is natural. But with the stone, all of these things have been rolled away to reveal something amazingly new. And by the light of what happened on this Easter day all those years ago, God has planted a seed of life in us that cannot be killed and it cannot die. Through his dying and rising again, Jesus has defeated the power of death over us. As we place our trust in his offer and his promise of a life hereafter with him. And that is not to say for one moment that we do not feel the pain of losing those whom we love. And so many people from our congregation have lost people they love, even in recent weeks. But we believe that because of what happened on this first Easter day, there is the glorious hope of meeting them and being with them again in the heavenly places when our life on earth ends. The best explanation that I was ever given about the significance of Easter, it didn't come in a lecture in theological college. It didn't come from an academic textbook or a marvelous book of any description. But it actually came when I was on a walk one day with one of my friends from the L'Arche community for adults with learning disabilities. And the first time I ever met my great friend Michael was a few days after Easter, back in 1999. And we were walking together along this beach in North County Dublin when he told me that the previous Sunday had been an absolutely brilliant Sunday. And I asked him why that was. And he told me that it was Easter Sunday. And when I asked him what was special about Easter Sunday, he told me that God rose from the dead. And we walked a little bit further, and I asked Michael, what was so great about God rising from the dead? And he stopped walking, and he looked at me, and he said, it's great because it means he's always with us now. And you know, I always find it really good to remember what Michael told me that day when I find myself in places of sadness and pain. But it's also good to remember Michael's words when I find myself in places of happiness and joy. It's good to know that because of what happened on that first Easter Sunday, he is always with us now. He's with us now, today, as we reopen our beautiful church with a congregation inside. But he's also here when it's just me and one of the technology team, or when it's me here on a Sunday morning praying for the congregation. He's always with us now. So may you too experience and feel the joy and the peace of the risen Lord with you in all that you do, and indeed in all that you might face. Let us pray. On this Easter day, Jesus, light of the world, bring the light and peace of your gospel to the nations of the world.
And we pray today for Christian communities meeting in secret or in dangerous situations to celebrate your resurrection. As we pray for our brothers and sisters in North Korea, in Eritrea, in Somalia, in Myanmar, and in other places around the world where today it's very risky to proclaim the name of Jesus. We ask you to be their encouragement and hope today and every day. Lord, in your mercy. Jesus, bread of life, give food to the hungry, we pray. And today we pray for situations of drought and, by contrast, of flooding, where agricultural techniques and discouragements make it so hard for ordinary people to survive. We pray today for all aid agencies who try to teach new agricultural methods and to help communities to rebuild and to grow crops sustainably. Prosper their endeavors, we pray. Nourish the soil, nourish their crops. Lord, in your mercy. Jesus, Good Shepherd, who gave your life for the sheep, recover the straggler, all those who have wandered far from you through poor choices or a desire for independence. Bind up the injured, all who live with serious illness, all those who care for them. And lead the healthy and strong to new pastures. May your church identify new opportunities to serve and to reveal your presence and your healing in a broken and anxious world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, the resurrection and the life, we give you thanks this morning for all who have lived and believed in you. And we remember especially today all who are wrestling with the pain of bereavement, those whose hearts are broken and who feel empty and hopeless. But Lord, we ask you to comfort and to walk with them through the darkness, and indeed to raise us with those who have lived and believed in you to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume
to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And as we celebrate these wonderful gifts today, we're going to hear the words of our next hymn, "The Strife Is O'er." Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him, and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. In your name.
At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us, who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. If you haven't been able to participate in church for some time, at the moment we're just allowed to receive Holy Communion in one kind, in bread, other than the celebrant. That's the guidance that we have at the moment. Everybody will remain in their seats, and I will bring Holy Communion to you where you are seated. And so we invite everybody to receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you, and remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
living God, by our redemption, for our redemption, you gave your only begotten Son to the death of the cross. And by his glorious resurrection, you have delivered us from the power of our enemy. Grant us so to die daily unto sin, that we may evermore live with him in the joy of his risen life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, raise you up to walk with him in the newness of his risen life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this Easter day and forevermore. Amen. Before we hear our closing hymn for today's service, we want to say thank you so much to those who have been joining us at home on the live stream, and it has been lovely to welcome everybody back into the church building. After we hear our final hymn, we will also just remain seated after that to hear the special organ voluntary for today, and after the voluntary has finished, the stewards will guide you from your seat. And we just remind people, if you wouldn't mind making your way away from the entrance to the church and to enjoy conversations at a distance outside, just as you move a little bit away from the entrance so we don't get congested in that area. Our closing hymn, Thine Be the Glory.